Hello and welcome to MedPod, the official CPD podcast for Maiden Early Trust staff by Maiden Early Trust staff. In each episode, we are joined by a member of Trust staff to share their area of expertise, interest or research in the hope that it will inspire our listeners to try out something new in their own practice. I'm Chloe Bateman, a history and religion and philosophy teacher at Maiden Early School, and I will be your host this week. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined today by Paul Gibson, head teacher at Maiden Early School, to share his experiences and expertise as a head teacher. Paul will be discussing the pressures and challenges of leading a large school. Maiden Early boasts almost 1,900 students and just over 100 full-time teaching staff, a huge undertaking in leadership terms. This is very much a prominent topic. Recent trends of head teacher recruitment and retention are regularly reported on in the educational press, and often this reaches the wider media too. A recent survey by the app TeacherTap of 5,500 practitioners found that just 4% aspired to headship, whilst a 2020 survey conducted by the National Association of Head Teachers indicated that just 46% of assistant and deputy head teachers could see themselves becoming head teachers at any point in the future. Of those who did not wish to apply for a head teacher post, 75% in the National Association of Head Teachers survey stated concerns about work-life balance, and 60% cited a worry that their personal well-being could suffer as a result of this career progression. Considering the issue in terms of retention does not bring much relief either, unfortunately, with 47% of current heads suggesting that they are now less likely to stay in leadership for as long as they had originally planned. We will be exploring the pressures which make headship such a challenging career destination within this episode, but we are also keen to share the highlights of this role, and perhaps most importantly, a range of tried and tested strategies which can be used to manage these challenges effectively. So Paul, thank you so much for joining us. I was wondering if you could start just by sharing a little bit about your background as a head teacher and the pathway that you've taken to get to this role.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Chloe. So I started, believe it or not, as what is an ECT now, an NQT, back in 2005 at this school, at Maiden Early School, teaching business and economics. And shortly after that, the school was inspected by Ofsted. And at the time, it got outstanding, which is great. But at the time, it was found that the curriculum needed a bit of development. It was very much GCSEs and A-levels only. And Peter Thomas, the head teacher at the time, recognised that I had delivered vocational courses previously. And they created a post which was head of vocational. And as a result of that, we developed a range of vocational courses and qualifications, BTECs predominantly, both at Key Stage 4 and Key Stage 5. And that grew and grew and grew. And then at the time as well, there was the SSAT, which had specialist schools and college. And this school was an art specialism, which you can see from our art department. It's fantastic. And we were invited because of the success that we'd had in terms of academic results, in terms of Ofsted result reports and so on, to have a second specialism. And at the time, the business and economics department was really growing. And Peter at the time and his leadership team felt that the business and economics side of things was the way we'd go. So it was a business and enterprise specialism alongside the art one. And they needed someone to lead the specialism as part of the SSAT. So an assistant head teacher role was created. And I was a head of faculty at the time. So I thought, why not? In for a penny, in for a pound. And I was successful, which is fantastic. And then over the course of 5 years as assistant head, I took on a range of roles. Tends to be in senior leadership, lasting, tends to get the interesting ones like health and safety and trips and various different aspects. So I did parts of those jobs whilst working with Mike Cadrell to create a curriculum that was broad and balanced. I took on the standards lead for Key Stage 5 as well, and worked through a variety of different leadership roles. And I'd like to thank Peter as well, the leadership team at the time, for the opportunities that I got. It was around 2015 I found out that a former colleague from Maiden Early, funnily enough, Jane Coley, had become head teacher at Brackenhill School in Bracknell, which was in an interesting position at the time. And she was looking for two deputy head teachers. So I applied for that and I was successful. So in September 2015, I took on the deputy headship at that school, which was a very, very different context. Yeah. You know, it was almost at ground zero, I would say. How it wasn't special measures at the time, I'm not sure. And we had the challenge of bringing up both behaviour, quality of learning and so on as part of that. Then Jane dropped the bombshell that she'd fell pregnant. Congratulations, obviously, on her third child. And Andy Hartley, who's head of Maiden Early Children Edge now, actually, who was deputy head at the time, became co-head teachers for a period of time at the school, whilst it was still on that journey of development, which really opened my eyes to becoming a head teacher. Obviously, again, back in a very different context. And we did that for a term, and then Jane returned, and we continued to build the school year on year. Results were growing. And at that point, actually, which has been a benefit to the, as a head teacher now, up until then, I was very much curriculum focused, curriculum development, vocational courses and so on. But when I worked at Brackenhell, we had to take on the pastoral side of things as well. So I was the assistant, I was the deputy head in charge of pastoral for Key Stage 4, which opened my eyes to the whole safeguarding world in a lot more detail than I'd ever imagined. So that really, really got me thinking about a head teacher role, because I'd seen both sides of the coin. And I wasn't really looking for a head teacher role, and someone, I forgot who it was. In fact, I'll tell you who it was. It was Julie Dennis, who was business manager here. She'd come over to Brackenhell because we were short of a business manager. And she said, oh, do you know the head teacher role's coming up at Maiden Early? And I started thinking, it's a tough gig to follow, following Mary Davis. So I gave it a go and I went for the interview. And you know, here I am now, in my fourth year of headship here at the school. And kind of never looked back. But that's kind of journey. So it's been quite interesting, really.
It sounds like it's been very varied as well. What would you say then, based on your experiences, are the unique pressures and challenges of managing a large school? Because I imagine that there's quite a few.
I mean, a school of 1,900 students is massive. It's one of the biggest in the country. And I think you throw in not just the pressure of the number of students, you then throw in the pressure of double that with the number of parents potentially, and grandparents and everyone else who likes to get involved. And the expectations, I think, of this school in particular. We didn't have those expectations at Brackenhell from parents, but as parents here, you know, they pay a premium to move into the catchment area. And I think that pressure of expectation, you know, you're head of a school with 1,900 kids, you're having an impact on the whole local community. Yeah. I think the pressure of expectation from everyone around you, it's not necessarily the pressure of the job, it's the pressure of the expectation from students and parents. And then obviously going inside alongside that, you've got a huge staff body who expect certain things quite rightly. You know, they're coming into work, they want to be safe, they want to be happy, they want to be looked after. We all know the burden of the role of teaching and working in a school in a support staff role as well, and the workload elements. So the pressure of expectation from staff as well, and quite rightly, you know, we're in a position of responsibility. But I think it's the pressure of expectation that really makes this job stand out from potentially headships in other schools.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, the pressure's still there. But I think with 1,900, it's probably just emphasised that a little bit more as well.
Yeah, definitely. What about in terms of like the day-to-day running of a school of that size? Is there any sort of pressures that feel quite unique in that sense?
Yes, in the fact that don't plan for anything, if I'm being completely honest. You know, you're dealing with adolescent children, you're dealing with parents as well that sometimes make different decisions than you would expect. So I think that the pressure comes from not being able to always just have that time to focus on the job. There's a lot of reactionary work to it, whilst obviously you've got to plan ahead as much as you possibly can. So I think, but in a way, I think that's the excitement of the job as well. You know, I drive in every morning and I think, oh, I've got to do this today. And you know, by 9:30, even after 4 years, you won't have got to that by 9:30. Something will have happened, positive or negative or interesting, that makes your day different to what you had planned out.
But
that's the joy of the job as well, right? You know, that's why you come into teaching in the first place, the fact that you have that interaction with people, you have that interaction with children. I think that's an interesting part of the job, but a fun bit as well at the same time.
Definitely. And do you have any strategies that have really worked for you in terms of managing those pressures effectively, or as effectively as they can be managed?
Having someone like Annabelle as a PA starts for a start, if I'm being honest. I think when you first come into headship, I think you think you can do everything and you can't. Mm-hmm. Or you think you can do everything perfectly. And I think after a year, you kind of realise that isn't the case. And I also think you think that you can do everything. You can take everything on. You can be the curriculum lead. You can be the pastoral lead. And actually, you've got to trust the people around you. You've got to trust your senior team. You've got to trust your teachers, your support staff, your cleaners, everyone in the school. Yeah. And by trusting them and trusting and verifying, I suppose, it makes the job that little bit easier. But you've got to be able, you know, you've got to understand what they do day in, day out. You know, Alison and Steph and Nicola, what they do day in, day out is like unsung heroes, like everyone is. But I think using other people, not in a bad sense, but using their skills, I think is really important. Making sure that in your calendar you have a keep free period wherever possible, where you know you've got to get through the abundance of emails that you get and dealing with potential parents or complaints. Or do you know what the most important thing is? I've just done it now with the chair of governors. It's actually putting time into walk around the school.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get bogged down in the mundane, boring, or sometimes depressing stuff.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a big one on the bell. But actually, going out there and seeing what goes on in the school makes you really fill yourself with pride, because what the staff and students do at the school is absolutely amazing. And you go home seeing that and making sure you have seen it. And when you go home and see it and see how good it is, it just fills you with pride. And I think that's helped. Because when you're on a bad day, going out there and seeing what everything's going on, it really
helps.
It's like
a positive kind of reality check, isn't it? Like what's actually happening on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because as you say, you can get bogged down in the negatives. And I think it's very easy to. And I think that's potentially when you look at, you know, the surveys of who wants to go into headships or leaving headships. I think a lot of that is down to the negative side of the role. But actually, there's so many positives, and going out there and seeing it with your own eyes makes the job a lot easier and better.
Absolutely. Well, that leads nicely into the next question. And I know you've spoken about this a little bit already, but what would you say are some of the highlights you found over your 4 years of being a head that have just made you think, oh, I'm so happy I went into this?
Mm. When you see a real success of a student where the chips are down and you think, you know, you always believe in them, but you think this is going to be tough for you.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they come out the other side. It could be a child who has got difficult circumstances at home and you're thinking, I hope you get that grade 5 in maths and you're wishing to get it. Or it could be a child with an EHCP who've gone to the college course that they want to do. Or it could be a child who's really naughty and a real pain, but actually succeed in the last year of school and go on and do things. I think that has had a massive, massive impact.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. I think that's the bit that you're in the job for. But you know, you get positive parental feedback, and that's always nice to receive. And you see staff enjoying themselves, and you see the staff survey, because you, as a school, you're only as good as the teachers and the staff that work in a school. And staff aren't going to do a good job if they're not happy. So again, seeing staff and getting the feedback and working on it, you know, working with the wellbeing group, having the staff Oscars, all those kind of things where you can interact with the staff as well, I think is really important.
Yes, it's that human side that you spoke about before. That's what brings those like moments of joy with it.
Correct. Yeah, it is. You know, the paperwork's the boring bit.
Yeah.
The actual human interaction and seeing the success and seeing smiles and having the conversations. You know, we're all teachers. It's vocation, and you don't come into teaching to sit behind a desk. You come into teaching to have those interactions. So still being able to do that is a really important part of the job.
Yeah, definitely. How do you think leadership at headship level then is different to other senior leadership roles? Because I think there's quite a lot of people, and some of the survey suggested as well, they want to go into assistant head, they want to go into deputy head, but they don't want to go further than that. So what do you think is the biggest difference?
I think when I was a deputy, and I think Alison might say the same, is that when the chips are down or when there's something really bothering you, there's still that next level that you can push it up to.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I get fantastic support from the governors and from the trust, from the lab and the trust, but I think you are ultimately the head of the school. And I think the difference is that opportunity to pass it up one more. And you know, you're kind of the last line of attack, even in the complaints policy, the last line's with the head before it goes to the trust. So I think that is the bit that would make the difference.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So based on that then, what we've been discussing, if there's somebody listening to this that is really considering that move into headship, what advice would you give to them about, it could be in terms of how they might prepare for that role, or like when they actually get into the role?
First thing, make sure, I think the most important thing is not necessarily on your experience that you've got, because there's a lot of experienced people out there who could do the job standing on their heads. I think it's making sure it's the right time for them personally, because it is blood, sweat and tears. I mean, teaching is, you know, but I think being a head teacher, it's blood, sweat and tears, and you have to give everything to a school to lead it. So I think from a personal perspective, you have to make sure it's the right time in your life and you can give the time to the school. I think as well as that, actually one other thing I would say is make sure you've got people around you that you can talk to as well. So whilst it's important for you from a personal perspective, you need to share your woes at times and celebrate your successes as well. Have a glass of wine with someone, who, you know, when you're getting it right. I think in terms of, you know, applying for a headship, one of the other things you need to make sure is that the school fits you. Every school has a personality. and every school has different personalities. And as a head teacher, I think your personality needs to match that school, because sometimes you get the wrong head teacher in the wrong school. Not that they're a bad head teacher, and not that they're a bad school, but doing your research, because as I said earlier, you're giving blood, sweat and tears. You need to make sure that you're happy in that school as well, and the culture of that school and the values of that school align with your culture and values, because otherwise you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
You're really going to struggle. So I think before you go into your application stage, visit the school, speak with people, do your research. When it comes to applying for headship, I think the biggest thing you can look at is what impact have you had so far? Because when I look at applications for senior leaders now, you see lots of experience, but never the weakest applications are the ones that don't have any impact.
Yeah.
So you ask that so what question. Oh, great, you've launched this curriculum. So what? What was the impact? Because as a head teacher, you've got to have impact. And especially in the first few weeks as a headship, the parents are looking at you thinking, well, what are you doing? As are the staff for that matter. So you've got to make sure you have that impact. And I think when you're applying, you've got to show that you've had impact in your current role.
Brilliant. Well, Paul, thank you so much. That's a really candid insight into headship. I think it's been really invaluable to hear your own personal experiences and reflections of your kind of unique career journey. So thank you very much for coming on MacPod. It's been really enjoyable.
Pleasure. Thank you.
I hope that everyone has found this episode as insightful as I have. And please do join us again next month for the next episode of MacPod, which will be featuring our CEO, Mary Davis. And don't forget to get in touch with us at metpod@maidenelleyschools.co.uk if you would like to be an episode guest in the next academic year, because we are currently recruiting for that. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.